Amen. Amen. All right. I'm excited about being here this morning. I'm excited every day, but I just feel like God's going to really move and teach us something special this morning. I always pray and ask God to help me, you know, help me present what He's put on my heart that week. And but this morning I'm really excited about what I want to share with you, what I feel like God wants us all to know, be aware of, and try to live in. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you as always. Lord, we just pray for all the families that are out traveling long distances to visit family and mourn the loss of loved ones. And we just ask you to get them there safe and let them be able to do what they need to do to comfort each other and be able to come back home. And Lord, we thank you for your traveling mercies. Lord, we have folks in our church family who are sick and still, you know, trying to overcome coughing and sickness and things like that. And Lord, you know who they are, and we ask you to help them. And folks that are not feeling good and, you know, struggling, we got some folks that are traveling, going to visit family, and we just ask that you'll help us all. Help the folks on the back of the bulletin. You know each person, what they need. Lord, as always, we thank you for our missionaries and our military, and we lift them up and help them. Help Ren, Lord, as he may be going into some dangerous situations. You said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, so we just trust that he'll guide him and place angels around him and bring him back home safely to his parents. He'll help us. Lord, help me this morning teach this in the way that you put it on my heart. I need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to be in Romans. Oh, I got another thing. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4. Got a little something different this morning, so don't take it the wrong way. Just put your big girl, big boy pants on and listen, okay? I'm going to read. Darius, man, went above and beyond. Thank you, buddy. I have the NLT version. Most of you might not have that. And you're welcome to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. That's all cool. But I'm gonna read out of the NLT version. Normally I study the Bible out of the New King James Version or the ESV, back and forth. Sometimes I preach out of the NIV. But I bought this Bible here, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, a year. I can't remember now. It's Chuck Swindoll. Remember him? Chuck Swindoll? Love Chuck Swindoll. But he has a new study Bible. It's an NLT. And I've done a lot of studying, and I like it. I like it. So I'm going to be reading it this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this morning, I kind of want you to just listen. And now that he's got it up here, let's follow along. We're going to read the whole chapter 4 of Hebrews. So here we go. I even brought my glasses, but man, I could just look up there and read it, can't we? But I'm just going to read it here. All right, ready? Everybody say, I'm ready? All right, Hebrews chapter 4. It said, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. So you got to understand, he's talking about two different folks here, right? Folks who were rebellious and didn't listen, and, you know, didn't serve God, and then folks that did, and then us. It says, they will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scripture where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work, but in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Verse 8. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them his rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors. Just as God did after creating the world, let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. We will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and he will find grace, and we will find grace, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Everybody said amen. This message I've entitled Jesus, Our Sabbath Rest. And I really want you to try to hang with me this morning, okay? I'm again putting my teaching cap on, and I want you to get this because I think some of you, this will help you a lot. Some of you already know this, so I'm going to brush off some cobwebs, all right? So hang with me. The key to understanding how Jesus is our Sabbath rest, because that's where we're going. The key to understanding that Jesus is our Sabbath rest is in this Hebrew word called sabbat. And sabbat means to rest, to stop, or to cease laboring, to cease working. The origin of the Sabbath, the origin of the Sabbath goes back to what we just read in the creation. And after creating the heavens and the earth, 6 days, what did God do? On the seventh day, what did he do? He rested from what he had made. That's what the scripture says. That doesn't mean that God was tired. That doesn't mean that God needed to rest. We all know that God is omnipotent. He's literally all powerful. All power is from him. He has all power in the universe. He never tires. He did not need to take a break. Okay? Looking at this word rest, Okay, that's what we're going to do this morning. On the seventh day, it said God rested. Simply, hear me, this is simply what this word means. God stopped what he was doing. He stopped what he was doing. He ceased from his labors. I was working and creating, made it all happen. And then he just stopped. He ceased. You know why? Because it was finished. Read into it now, right? It was finished. He was finished. There was nothing more for him to do with this earth. He didn't need a day 8, 9, 10, 11. Then he'd come back and check out the foundation, right? Make sure the concrete was all, you know, good. It was finished. It was done. There was nothing else that he needed to do with this earth. This is important in understanding the establishment of the Sabbath day. And, everybody say and the role of Jesus Christ as our Sabbath rest. Now God, we all know God gave the Israelites his Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment, they were to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So one out of every 7 days, they were to rest from their labors. So hang with me. This was not necessarily just a physical rest, but it was really a rest from their laboring. Whatever work they were engaging in, whatever work that they did, they were supposed to stop one full day in a week. If they were stonemason, they stopped. They didn't mess with any stonemasonry work that day. If they were farmer, they didn't do any farming that day. If they were carpenter, they didn't do any carpentry work or no building that day. If they were salesmen, they were running around selling carpet and rugs and whatever they sold back in that day, they didn't do any selling on that day. If they were a tent maker, they didn't make any tents that day. They stopped. They were a winemaker, or if they were fishermen, they didn't do any of that on that day. You see, the Sabbath day was established so people would rest from their labors, only to begin after a day of rest. Work, 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 labor, 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 off. Back again. Labor, 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 off, back again. Sound familiar? Okay. There are various different elements of the Sabbath. And these symbolized the coming of the Messiah. All this that they were doing was setting it up for the coming of the Messiah. When the Messiah would come, he would provide a permanent rest for the people. And that's where we're heading with this. You see, when the establishment of the law, when it came on board, the Old Testament law, listen closely, the Jews were constantly laboring. They were constantly laboring to make themselves acceptable to God. Please hear the deeper meaning of this. They were constantly laboring, trying to make themselves acceptable to God. They would try to follow these rules and regulations and do's and don'ts constantly, always. There were ceremonial laws. There were temple laws. There were civil laws. They were on and on. They would make up stuff. They would make up rules and regulations. And they were constantly laboring and trying their best to become right with God, to become okay with God. Of course, they couldn't possibly keep up with all the laws. They just couldn't do it. No one could. So God provided a selection of sin offerings and sacrifices so they could come to Him for forgiveness and restore fellowship with Him. But it was only temporarily. It was only temporary. Just as they began their physical labors after one day of rest, so too they'd have to continue these sacrificial offerings on and on, year after year, bringing their offerings, bringing their sacrifices, trying their best to do right, to be okay with God. It's laboring. Hebrews 10:1 tells us this. It says that the law can never make perfect those who draw near to worship. It doesn't matter how many sacrifices they make. It doesn't matter how many things that they do to try to earn favor with God. It will never work. They will always fall short. These sacrifices were offered in anticipation of the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. When He died on the cross, and He was buried in the grave, this is what they were looking toward. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus offered that one sacrifice for sins, forever, that He sat down at the right hand of God. Just as Jesus rested after He performed the ultimate sacrifice, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, sometime later, He sat down at the right hand of God. His labor of atonement. Because guys, there was nothing more that He needed to do. When He died on the cross for us, there was nothing more that He needed to do. Ever. Forever. That's why He said, "It is finished." It is finished. It is done. Because what He did, we no longer have to labor. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we no longer have to labor in law-keeping in order to be justified in the sight of God. Jesus was sent so that we might rest in God and in what He has provided for us. We can now cease. We can now cease from our spiritual labors and rest in Him. Not just one day a week, but always. Always. Forever. Jesus is our Sabbath rest because He is the Lord of the Sabbath. As God Almighty, He decides the true meaning of the Sabbath because He created it. And He is our Sabbath rest in the flesh. You see, when the Pharisees criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, Jesus reminded them that even they, the sinful little things, they would not hesitate to pull a sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath. And that's so true. Jesus came to seek and save. He came to seek and save His sheep who would hear His voice and enter into His Sabbath rest. Jesus told the Pharisees that people are more important than sheep. And the salvation that He provided is more important than rules and regulations. Mark 2:27. It says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for Sabbath. Jesus was restating the principle that the Sabbath rest was instituted to relieve man of his labors. Just as he came to relieve us in our attempt to achieve salvation by our works, we no longer rest for only one day, but forever cease our laboring to attain God's favor. Jesus is our rest from works. Now, just as Jesus is the door to heaven, where ultimately one day we will rest with Him forever. Guys, there is no Sabbath rest without Jesus. He alone satisfies the requirements of the law, and He alone provides the sacrifice that atones for sin. Jesus is God's plan for us to cease from the labor of our own works. I love Sundays, but it's not about Sundays anymore. It's not about Saturdays. It's about Jesus. If we're following the Old Testament law, we as Baptists could say Sunday is the day of Sabbath. We could follow that Old Testament law again. I think Sundays are beautiful and I'm grateful and glad for them. But it's not about Sunday. It's about Jesus. There are people in our world, in our country, in our county right now who continue to live by the bondage of the rules and regulations. They put so much emphasis on the rules and regulations that man has made up, even about Sunday. It's not about what we do or don't do on Sunday. It's about what we do with Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Have we entered into His rest? Have we accepted that He is everything, that it is finished? When we placed our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, everything, 100% of everything has to do with the good news of the gospel. It's every day. Truly, really, for me personally, I'm just telling you, the Sabbath day is every day. I wake up on Tuesday and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Tuesday. Thursday. It could be, if we want to look at it with our religious eyes, a Sabbath day. It's not about the day. Don't stay caught in the religious traditions of men. Men, just like the priests, made up all these crazy rules. I'll tell you one, and don't fire me, but fishing on Sunday. Men made up that ridiculous rule. They did. Look it up. I did. They made up the silly rule that you can't fish on Sunday because it's the Sabbath day and you shouldn't do any work. It's man-made rules. Imagine a target, like with three circles. You got a center target, a middle target, and then a big outer target. Imagine in that center, okay, that center target we'll call theology. The little outer target we'll call doctrine. And then that outer target we'll call beliefs. That inner target about theology is worth dying for. That little outer target, the middle one, that's worth debating. The outer target, this big one, that's worth discussing. The theology, the center target, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm not going to debate you, and I'm not even going to talk to you about it. I'm not even going to listen to your crazy ideas, because this is worth dying for. The virgin birth of Christ. Everybody hear me? There's certain things that are worth dying for. And it's my opinion, right? That's the theology, our understanding of God Almighty, of Christ and the cross and the good news. Now that other outer circle is worth debating. And those are doctrines, like water baptism or baptism with sprinkle. You know, speaking in tongues, not speaking in tongues. You know, there's some doctrines. Should women pastor? Women shouldn't pastor. Those are doctrines. They're worth debating. We can agree to disagree and move on, right? And then there's an outer circle which is called beliefs. These beliefs like women shouldn't wear pants. Girls and boys shouldn't swim in the same swimming pool. The movie theater is from the devil. There's certain beliefs that are out here, you know. Women shouldn't wear makeup. There's all kind of crazy ones. Don't fish on Sunday. These are just beliefs that men in their positions of authority just created these rules. And everybody tries to go by them. Here's where cults are born. Cults are born when you take a belief and you throw it into theology. And they'll say, those denominations, those cults will tell you, you're going to hell because you smoke cigarettes. You're going to hell because you got a tattoo. You're depressed? You're not saved. You better go get right with God. And that's what happens is, and all that's fear-based. It's fear-based. And God said, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. There's a fear base. You can tell a lot of cults because they're based on fear. If you do this, bam, you're gone. If you're speeding, there's certain denominations that if you're speeding when the rapture comes, you're going to hell. And that's where you get this belief, okay, and they throw it into theology. And that's very dangerous. And the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. Please, I deep within my heart, I want you to see it differently from now on. I want you to see it that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. We can rest in Him. Oh yeah, don't take me wrong. I love Sundays. I love Sunday. I love cooking chicken and laying back and relaxing on Sunday. That's great. Nothing wrong with that at all. Love it. But I know now that my Sabbath rest is in Christ. It's in Jesus. Amen? That's why Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, as we pray together as a church family, well, I just ask that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't have that rest. Maybe they don't know you. Maybe they've never been born again. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they'd like to do that this morning. As the saints are praying, I just ask if that person, if I'm talking to you, and you want to get saved this morning, you want to make sure you're going to heaven, You can come down right now and we'll pray together. If you'd like to, you can sit right there in your seat. And if you want to get saved, you can pray this prayer with me right now. Just say this to yourself, mean it in your heart. Just say, God, I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. I place my faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I give you my life. And the best way I know how, I'm going to live for you from this day forward. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.